is right and fitting to have a teaching series about money. After all, giving and tithing are good spiritual habits. We are grateful for all God's good gifts and want to give out of our abundance in response. Talking about money is a bit challenging, too, right? Here are a couple of the challenges for me. I believe that the actions we perform in worship, whether standing to sing or bowing our heads to pray, shape our hearts and minds, bending them toward God. So digging into a pocket or purse to pull out an offering and put it in the plate has been for me a physical reminder of God's gifts and our giving. And I was thinking about this before Pastor Joel's first message on giving a couple weeks ago and intended to come prepared. But suddenly the plate was in front of me and I wasn't ready and I just waved my hand. Mind you, we do give, but we give online. And that's been great. It's regular and reliable. But I miss that act in worship, the literal giving, and had intended, at least during this series, to put in a few coins or a bill. So that's one challenge. Another challenge is remembering that we represent here among us various economic levels, wealth and near poverty. So how do we talk about giving when there's also great financial need? And what does the Bible say about being poor? Some have inherited wealth that gave you a good start in life. Some have worked hard and feel secure about your finances. Some are still paying their educational debts, and others hadn't the resources to go to college. Some of you have had ups and downs. Others are barely scraping by these days. Some of you are facing financial windfalls, and others are struggling. Money becomes tight for all kinds of reasons. Medical expenses, splitting up your home, loss of employment or a shift in careers. I think these messages about God's generosity and our grateful giving sound different to each one of us here. And maybe each of us hears messages about giving differently at this moment in our lives than we might have heard in another season or than we might hear in the future. Each of us have decisions to make about how to live joyfully in whatever circumstances we find ourselves and how to give gratefully from whatever resources God has provided. And still, back to that question, how do we talk about giving when some are struggling? And what does the Bible say about what to do when you are the one who is poor? This story about the poor widow is one of the few in the Bible that hint at how to live in poverty. Yet maybe it is telling us something a little different from what we've often thought. We might need a little more context for this story. In the previous chapter, Mark tells the story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Now, a couple days later, Jesus is in the temple for the last time. He talks with the chief priests and teachers of the law and elders. He tells stories of the kingdom of God, even while they question his authority. And they ask about taxes and marriage at the resurrection. And someone asks, which commandment is the most important? Jesus answered, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, Jesus said. Then Jesus warns the people to watch out for those teachers of the law with their fancy robes and showy prayers, the ones who devour widows' houses. Finally, Jesus sits down to watch the crowd in the temple treasury. I was trying to visualize the scene in the temple where people gave their offerings. Apparently, there were 13 chests with funnels, or what they called trumpets, because they were narrower at one end. They were labeled for different types of offerings. Offerings for the temple taxes, for doves or incense or wood, and some for freewill offerings. And the offering trumpets were probably made of brass, so you could hear how many coins were tossed in. As Jesus watched, the rich folks threw in a handful of coins. Wow, what an offering. I imagine those around them were impressed. But then Jesus pays special attention to a poor widow, throwing in her last two coins. And he calls the disciples to point out what she has done. I wish that the narration provided a few adverbs. Did Jesus watch admiringly, angrily, sadly? And did the widow give gladly or grudgingly? We don't know. But we have often heard a particular interpretation admiring her sacrificial giving. Yet I was surprised by my investigation into this familiar story. Among all of the theologians and preachers I read, no one simply said, "What an offering! What a heroic gesture! A model for all of us to give every last penny." No, that's not what I found. Most who looked at the verses before and after the story of the widow suggest that Jesus is pointing out something else to the disciples and to us. One of the most poignant interpretations came from Debbie Thomas, the author of Into the Mess and Other Jesus Stories, a preacher and an essayist for Journey with Jesus, a weekly webzine for the Global Church, which is where I found her reflection on this passage. I really would love to read her whole piece for you, but I'll settle for just sharing a few of her thoughts about that traditional interpretation. Thomas wrote, "I've squirmed because this woman's brief appearance in Mark's gospel haunts me. Her story is sharp-edged and troubling. Consider again what Jesus said about her as she left the temple that day. She, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." She says, "As far as I can tell from reading the Gospels, Jesus wasn't given to exaggeration. If he says the woman gave everything she had, well, she gave everything she had. So here's why I'm troubled by this Gospel reading. What does it mean to applaud a destitute woman who gave her last 2 cents to the temple before slipping away to starve? Is this really a story of selflessness? Or is it a cautionary tale about naivete? Should we cheer, weep, or complicate the story further?" Thomas reminds us, indeed, in the days leading up to the widow's last gift, Jesus offers one scathing critique after another of the economic and political exploitation he witnesses around him. So why on earth would he turn around and praise a woman for endangering her already tenuous life to support an institution he considers corrupt? Read the story carefully. He doesn't she says. Centuries of stewardship sermons notwithstanding, Jesus never commends the widow, applauds her self-sacrifice, or invites us to follow in her footsteps. He simply notices her and tells his disciples to notice her too. So, friends, let's pay attention and notice the widow. I confess I have usually pictured an older woman leaning on a cane as she gave this small offering. But what if she was still young and had children depending on her? Much of the great art shows her with children. What will she do now? Her situation seems desperate. Did the disciples see that? Did they recognize that Jesus was calling out the injustice of the temple system that expected a poor widow to give her last coins, everything she had to live on? And if we acknowledge that possibility, what are we to make of her offering? On Friday, in her January series talk on Life After Perfect, Kate Bowler used a word I'm not sure I'd heard before. Precarity. Precarity. Kate was talking about some of the pitfalls around the power of positive thinking, a way of looking at how we shape the world around us and are shaped by the idea of perfectibility, and about how so many people feel invincible until they don't. Until something in their life comes undone. She says, invincibility does not last. We are not living the life we want, but the life we actually have. And she talked about how that's precarious. For Kate Bowler, it was a cancer diagnosis that led to her precarity. And she said that most of us have already or will someday find ourselves in some precarious situation. And I thought about the widow in this story. Just like Kate Bowler had not chosen cancer, this widow has not created this circumstance for herself. Yet she is living in precarity. It's just where she found herself. Now, Kate Bowler also said something about people who are doing fine. If you find yourself feeling wonderfully durable, love that. If you find yourself feeling wonderfully durable, she said, bless you. And maybe it's time to help carry others. She reminded us that we are all part of an interdependent community. Interdependent community. Maybe that's what's missing in this story of Jesus sitting in the temple, looking at all the people going past. There's no interdependent community there. The rich were getting richer and showing off their robes and fancy prayers and handfuls of coins, and the widow was giving up her very last coins. And I wonder, what became of the widow as she left the temple that day? Did she find a corner to lie down and wait for the Lord to take her? Or might her sister invite her and her children to share a meal? Or would she pack up their few belongings and move in with a friend? Will there be a community to help her or not? Now, the Bible says the poor are always among us. And it tells God's people to help those who are poor, the widows and the orphans and the foreigners in our midst. It seems to assume that those who read the Bible are not themselves poor or widowed. So when we find ourselves in that precarious position, we're not sure what to do. Are we supposed to give away our last coins? Or do we ask for help or wait for someone to offer? How do we find our way through hard times? I'll tell you, I have been there. We've had seasons of financial struggle in our married life. While I was going to seminary and waiting for a call and then serving a tiny church, we had to cut back in lots of ways. And here's a trivial illustration. I actually did not pay for a professional haircut for at least 5 years. Yeah, that's when I let my hair grow out. And then it just stayed that way. Trimming expenses enabled us to still give money to the church and to support a missionary friend. And God did continue to provide for us. Through extra work here and there, the kindness of friends, the loving generosity of an uncle, we were so grateful. And we were able to give some of that money back. And yet, I'll be honest, giving wasn't always easy or joyful. It often felt more like obedience, even sacrifice. And if that's how you are feeling too, that's okay, I think. And I wonder if that was the attitude of the impoverished widow in this story. Was she offering her last coins as an obedient sacrifice, a faithful act of devotion and trust? Did she worry about what would happen next? Did she maybe resent those rich people, the teachers of the law who expected so much? Or did she simply trust? Trust that somehow God would provide. We don't know her heart. We did hear last week that God loves a cheerful giver, and we hope that was her approach. And we hope that that is our usual attitude too. And maybe it's okay to simply be obedient, even a little grudgingly sacrificial sometimes. Friends, none of this is easy. Talking about money isn't easy. And maybe giving our offerings is always a mix of sacrifice and obedience and gratitude and joy. And as we live in community together, maybe we can help each other figure it out. As we look at our own resources, we can also look around at the people God puts into proximity with us. Who is your neighbor? Who is part of your faith family? Who is living in precarity? If you have ample resources, how might you love your neighbor and offer help so that no one has to give her last two coins and go out wondering whether she will survive? And if you're in a season when money is tight, yes, do give to God. But please don't feel guilty about taking care of your family, too. And when God provides more, give thanks and praise and present your offerings to God, the giver of all good gifts. Now, you heard me say earlier that this event with the temple offerings takes place during Holy Week. While Jesus is teaching in the temple and watching all the different people coming and going, he is also preparing for what is soon to come, the greatest offering. Jesus had everything, you know? Before Jesus came to earth, he had it all, glory and power and wealth. But he did not cling to those riches. He gave it all up, every last bit, to come to earth as a human baby, to grow up into a man who had no home to call his own, no place to lay his head. He gave it up for the sake of all those people around him, the widows and orphans, the disciples who followed him, even for the sake of those rich folks who abused their wealth and power. Jesus kept giving and giving, giving freely of his time and his teaching and his love, showing us how to love God and love our neighbor. And Jesus pointed out injustice and called for mercy and righteousness. And finally, Jesus gave his body. Jesus shed his blood. He gave the greatest sacrifice of all, his very life, to save us from our sin. What an offering. So, friends, how will we respond to Christ's deep love and gift of grace? Can we give generously? Of course. Especially if we have more than enough for our daily bread. Give cheerfully? I hope so. Give sacrificially? Sure. Even if not everything you have to live on. Look at what God has given for you. Look at God's gifts. Look at them with deep gratitude. Trust in God to continue to provide for you and how God will use you to help others. And give with your whole heart. What an offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy God, we are so grateful for all your good gifts, and especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask for your Spirit to help us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. Help us to be grateful. Help us to give freely and generously and cheerfully. And let righteousness flow through us as we live for you and serve one another in your name. We pray. Amen.